So we're going to be in Mark 16 and Matthew 28. Both of them are going to be the same thing, but there's a little bit of a difference. So in my Bible, it says the Great Commission for both of them. So in Mark 16, 14 through 18 is what we're going to talk about. And then we'll go back and we'll look at Matthew 28, 16 through 20, and you'll see a little bit of the difference there. So we're going to start with Mark chapter 16, verse 14 through 18. And it says, "Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.'" So to give you a little bit before then, Jesus comes back. He sees Mary. Mary goes and tells the disciples. Jesus comes back to two others, and they went and told the disciples, and they didn't believe. And that's why in verse 14, he said he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. It's really fun when you get something that the Lord puts in your heart or shows you. Because these four verses, I couldn't believe when Robert asked me to teach that I could find so much information and how I could apply it to my life. What I was praying about earlier, if you guys didn't know, was the harvest out in Southern California. The three-day event that they had compared to the one-day event we had out here in Texas, they had over 110,000 people either go to it or view it online. Out of that 110,000 people, 11,699 people dedicated their life to the Lord. And that is what is so awesome. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn back there because it's at the, my Bible page is torn thanks to Faith, so I know exactly where it's at. But Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" I think I've told you guys this before. I get a daily devotional from Greg Laurie. After we had our event here in Dallas, I signed up for it. And there was something that came across that said, "Tell someone." And I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting. I wonder what it's about. So I went ahead and signed up for it. And what it is, it's an online course that helps you to share the gospel, to share it with someone, to share it with anyone, with your friends, your neighbors. And that's why I said these two books, Matthew and Mark, for the Great Commission, are pretty much telling us to do the same thing. And that's to share the gospel. One of the things I learned from this, and I haven't completed it yet, but one of the things I learned is that 95% of all Christians, out of 95% of Christians, have not led at least one person to Christ. So we have 95% of our brothers and sisters that have not led someone to Christ. So why is it? Is it because they don't truly believe? Is it because they're afraid? As followers, we are commanded to share the gospel. Now, in the two different ones, one says, go out, make disciples of all the nations. And that's in Matthew. And in Mark, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The interesting thing with this course I'm learning is that Pastor Greg talks about when you say the word preach, people are automatically on the defensive. The ones that are trying to share the gospel and tell them about what it is, and the ones that are listening, if you hear them say, I want to preach to you, it's like talking at someone. And that's not what we want to do. We want them to know what he's done for us, and we want to know how much of an impact he's made in our lives. I had to look up the definition for disciple. It might be pretty basic for a lot of people. I'm a very simple guy. And so some of these words that I have heard over and over and over years doesn't always make sense to me. So what it says is one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of other. So if you think about it, the ones closest to Jesus, after he was crucified and came back, didn't believe what he had told them. So how can they go and teach and spread the doctrine? Now, I'm going to go, I'll come back to the civilian world, but I'm going to go into the military world, okay? And you'll remember this. So when I first got in the military, we had to do training, okay? We did what was called round robin. I don't know if you guys did it like that, or if it was called something different. But round robin is basically you go from station to station to station, and you're learning different tasks, okay? One could be land navigation. One could be weapons, disassembly and assembly. One could be first aid. One could be, at the time, chemical warfare, okay? So as instructors, it was our job to make sure that these people understood how to do these processes properly, how to make sure that they were done correctly and how they were to be done safely. If the disciples were having doubts, do you think anybody would really believe them when they came to tell them about the doctrine and everything that Jesus had taught them? So for us in the military, if I didn't teach somebody the correct way to read a map, use a compass, look at the terrain, what would happen? They would end up getting lost. Now, being up in Washington for 10 years, nothing but forest, okay? Nothing but forest and mountains. So do you think it'd be easy to get lost up there if I didn't tell them? Assembling and disassembling a weapon. So I show you how to take apart an M16. I show you how to put it back together. And if you don't put it back together correctly and you go to fire it, more injury. Kablooey. Exactly. Okay, so let's do something not so military. Let's just talk general first aid, okay, because you had to learn that. So if you don't know how to put on a tourniquet, if you don't know how to apply the right pressure, if you don't know how to keep them alert, right?
Life-saving steps.
Yes. What happens? So this is why it was important for us to train them. It was important for them to understand the doctrine that we were trying to get to them. Because the doctrine that we were trying to get to them is trying to save their lives. which is the same thing that the disciples should be doing. They should be going out and spreading the word to save lives. And that is what happened this weekend. 11,699 lives were saved. And that is outstanding. It really is. Verse 16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Let's go away from military. Let's go into the civilian, okay? I'll talk about my job. My job is basically maintenance, okay? So we get a new team member that comes to Target, and they have to know how to use the right equipment. So we have a big machine called a baler. You put your cardboard in it, it crushes it, you put wire on it, you send it out, you get money back for it. But if they don't listen to me on how to do it, and they stick their hands in there, guess what? They just lost their fingers. You know, there's a forklift, it's called a stacker, goes underneath the pallet, picks it up, you can put it in, on the shelf. If you're not paying attention, you could hit somebody's foot with it, which, by the way, happened to me when I got out of the military and worked for a company called, I worked for a company and I came back from vacation, and what ended up happening was I went to congratulate one of my employees, and he was joking around and ran over my foot with a forklift. So that wasn't fun. We are commanded to do that, to bring those who don't believe to Christ and show them how good he is, what he did for us, and who we are and why we are the way we are. But how do we do this? When you hear the word preach, you're just like, Pastor Greg said, share your testimony. When you share your testimony, you're going to be sharing the gospel. Philippians 2:4 says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Again, let's go to work. If you know somebody is going to do something wrong, it's best for you to help them out so that they don't get in trouble or they don't hurt themselves. However it is that works for you, it might work better for you because you work in an area where there's machines. For me, I can only go off mine, but it may not be the same for you. So, like, at my work, if somebody stands on what we call a flat, which is basically a cart, a long cart with wood and wheels, if somebody stands on that and they shake it a little bit, they're going to go flying off. So I don't think that that's really going to happen where you guys are, but you have safety issues over there, okay? So let each of you look not only at his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And it's not just work. It could be friends. It could be somebody that you used to go to school with. It could be somebody that you know that has fallen back. So you never want to look out for your own interest. You want to look out for the interest of others. If somebody slipped, we should be going back to them and telling them that they slipped and we need to bring them back to Christ. I think Pastor Robert said this, and I heard another pastor say this, that says, everyone at one time is empty in their heart, and only Christ can fill that void. Luke 15 talks about a lost sheep and how the shepherd left the 99 to find the one. The best part of that verse to me says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. One sinner one person that heard your testimony and believes that Jesus Christ can come into their lives and into their heart and help them out, there will be more joy in heaven for that one. Pastor Sean talked about it on Sunday, about going into our communities, because that's what we're commanded to do. I agree with that, but I also want to add that we also need to look what's close to us. We say we're believers. We say we follow Christ. Do we share that at work? Do we share that at school? Do we share it with the Costco gas attendant that loves to talk to everybody? You know they do. They come out and they'll talk to you. You know, ask them how their day's going. You know, they may ask you, and you can tell them. It's real important to do that, because there's going to be a time when we're going to be in heaven, and there's going to be that one person, that two people, the group of people that we know that could have been up there with us. I'm hoping I pronounced this right. Philemon? Does that sound right?
Philemon.
Huh?
Philemon.
Philemon. Thank you. Hey, that's why I said I hope. Philemon 1:6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, Christ Jesus. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. Depending on how big your job is, your company, you may be encountered with a lot of people. You may not have a lot of people. But they may ask you, why are you always in a good mood? Why are you always upbeat? That is the perfect time to share your testimony, your faith, your love in Christ. Because that's what we want to do. Back to the military again. When I got to the rank that I ended up with, which is an E4, it's called a specialist. It's just below a sergeant, but I was in charge of troops. So I had to make sure that they had the proper training to know what to do, what not to do. When to do it, when to not do it. The same goes for everything out here. When we go into work, when we go into school, if you're out walking your pets at the park, you're shopping, you know. You could go to a cashier, you could go to a salesperson at a retail store, and they would be like, can I help you find something? And once you get done with that, you know, they would help you find it. And you could just start talking to them. When you care about somebody, you just talk to them. You find out what their interests are. You find out what their likes are. You find out how you can connect with them. It's not we're trying to do something different. We're trying to help people. We're trying to save them. We're trying to get them to open up their eyes to what this world actually is like and what this world is actually like with Christ. And that is the big thing. So is sharing the gospel scary? Depends on who you are. I'll tell you yes and no. I say yes because people are afraid of what others might think. They're afraid to be mocked. They're afraid that they'll feel bad for their faith. Or they're just not comfortable talking about it. But 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5 says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I am not a professional speaker by any means. I get nervous. I get anxious. But at the same time, I can't back down from it. If I'm asked to teach, if I'm asked to do a devotional, I may not know everything. I may not have gone to Bible college, but I know what the verses have done for my life. I know how they affected me. I know how I can go to work every day and people will be like, uh-oh, Mike's not good. Why is that? He's always in a good mood. Because it's through Christ that I can be that way. Luke 9, 1 through 6 says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them the power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, 'Take nothing for the journey, neither staff nor bag nor bread nor money. And do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them.' So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." That pretty much goes with feeling like you'll be mocked, feeling bad, feeling uncomfortable. You're not going to change anybody. You're just going to tell them about what Christ did. God's going to change them. God's going to take them. And if you think that you can't do something, that verse was on the song. Basically, the weak lead the strong. Whether you believe that you can do something or not, in your mind, God can use you if you have trust in Him and you open up your heart. Those few verses is strength and encouragement that He's giving us. By no means do I ever not worry about saying the wrong thing. Nobody wants to get in front of somebody or a group of people and say the wrong thing. We want to be accurate. We want to tell the truth. But we have to have faith that God is going to give us the words or the verses that will affect someone's life. Sharing the gospel shouldn't be scary because you get to share your testimony. You're going to share it to those who want to know why you are the way you are. 1 John 5, 11 through 13 says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Sharing your testimony really is awesome. I don't remember exactly when I became a Christian. I know that I've messed up enough to where I've had to ask for forgiveness plenty of times, plenty of times. I know I've rededicated my life at least twice back to him, and then had to ask for forgiveness again. The only thing I can say that I know for certain, and I think I've told you guys this before, was that coming out to Texas was the best thing that could have happened to me. Because I came out here full of pride, anger, just wanting to do my own thing. God said, come on out. You want to be a cop? Go through it. I was in the police academy for 6 weeks. That's why I'm a very simple, basic man. They're trying to shove 6 years of law in 6 months in your brain. Could not handle it. Monica tried to help me. Elizabeth and Samantha, Robert, they all tried to help me with studying. I'm just not good at that. I'm a more of a hands-on. I can do stuff like that. When I have to do something, it takes me a little bit longer because I have to picture in my head the outcome and almost go backwards in the steps so I can see the steps I'm going to have to go forward. But coming out here was the best thing that could ever happen to me, because if I were in California, I would be at a big church where I wasn't known. I wouldn't be involved. I would still be doing whatever I wanted, and I wouldn't be close to God. Coming out here, I'm close to my wife. God gave me a position in a company that allows me to spend more time with my daughters, even though two of them are already grown up. My last one, she's in high school. I get to pick her up every day. I get to spend every evening with her. I get to spend every evening with my wife. I actually get time off with my family. Don't even make as much money as I used to. Don't even care about that. I'm in a church where people care about me, that love me. I can go ahead and I'm being given opportunities to speak about my experiences, my testimony. I get to look up verses. I get to read them. I get to try to understand them more. I get to try to use them. So sharing your testimony is a good thing. It really is. But you have to get out of your comfort zone. Like I said, I am not a professional speaker by any means. I think this is probably the calmest I've been in the four times I've taught. But usually you can hear that crackle in my voice. You can probably see my hand shaking a little bit. It's because I don't want to misrepresent God in any way. But I do want to share everything I can. So even though I don't speak entirely the way that some of other pastors would teach the Bible, I can find verses that would help me. So even if you can't say word for word what the verse is, you can look up the verse. I'm sure you've got somebody that can help you translate it. I know I've gone to Robert. I've gone to Pastor Robert. I've gone to my dad. You know, in our men's group, when we have our men's breakfast, we go over it. It helps out a lot. So the one that helped me for, you know, not being a strong speaker, but at the same time knowing that basically God had my back, is Exodus 4, 14 through 15. So if you cannot speak in front, remember what happened with Moses. And Exodus 4, 14 through 15 says, "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do." So again, God is there for us. He's showing us all these different things that will help us to share the gospel, to share the love of Christ, to share how much he's done for us. I had to add this today because I was thinking about it. Right now, social media is huge. You have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm sure there's more, right? So if you can't speak in front of a group, could you start sharing the gospel one-on-one with somebody in your friends list? If you're having a bad day and you tell somebody you're having a bad day, they're going to do what? They're going to try to say, oh, it'll get better. Don't worry, tomorrow's another day. Couldn't you send back to them your favorite verse and maybe spark that curiosity? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. And that's what you want to do, is you want to try to get that started so that you could go ahead and share your testimony. Preaching the gospel is hard. Sharing your testimony is easy. Whether you do it in front of a group or whether you do it one-on-one, it really is. So once you share your testimony with somebody, or let me back up. Let's say you're not sure if you can share. One thing that I've learned from this course is that you have to ask. You have to be vulnerable. You have to tell God that you are afraid, that you don't know what to say, that you don't know what to do or how to act. You have to admit that to him. Because if you don't admit that to him, you're never going to say anything to anybody. So believe it or not, this week, I have actually been asking God to make me more sensitive to the people around me. Because like most of us in our jobs, we go around with blinders on. You know, we've got this to do, we got that to do. I know I do because of my list and everything like that. But I'm asking him to open up my eyes, my ears, you know, just seeing who is not like they are normal when I normally talk to them. Because then I can say, can I pray for you? When we had the Harvest America? When we had Harvest America here, one of our youth went down, rededicated their lives. As we were leaving, everybody's coming out of Cowboy Stadium, right? And so all of a sudden, there is a mother with her child, right? And she's looking for, you know, money to probably get something to eat or whatever. And I was so proud because this youth went and asked if he could pray for her. So we all stopped and waited while he went and did that. And I'm pretty sure that because he was very emotional. He was very emotional because that weight had been lifted off of him when he rededicated his life. And he wanted that same joy for that woman and her child. So that's almost like a new believer. When you have a new believer, they are on fire, right? They are on fire. They want to learn. They want to learn. They want to know how to do everything. But what happens? We end up stop being on fire. We end up reading our Bibles. We end up reading our devotions. We end up spending time with God, which is great. But are we sharing that information, that verse, that chapter that we read with somebody that might need it during the day? I will tell you no for me. And I will tell you that I am trying to be more open so that I can let somebody else know more about Jesus. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. I heard this recently. I think Pastor Robert said it. But it's like, a few weeks ago, I was on vacation. My dad had come out here. We had got done with the Wednesday service, and we were heading back to Midlothian. All of a sudden, and it's by the grace of God that we didn't hit it, there's a motorcycle. Now, you guys know 67 only has two lanes, right? And it's in the slow lane. So at the last second, I swerve, and we see this motorcycle here on the ground. So we pull over. We go back there. There's a couple other cars already, right? Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. There's nobody around at all. Nobody. The motorcycle just looked like it crashed. And so one of the ladies there said that the person who crashed it ran off into the field. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. But right here where it says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. If we hadn't stopped to see if everybody was okay, what would have happened? Somebody could have actually hit that motorcycle. Now, I had a flashlight, so there was a semi that was partially in the lane, so it was sort of letting people know, but I had a flashlight, like we do for harvest, trying to get people to go to the fast lane so that they would not hit that motorcycle, because we didn't want anybody to get injured, right? But if we'd have left and we'd have accidentally not seen the guy and hit him, right? What happens? Somebody gets my license plate. Somebody tells the police come knock on my door. They say, hey, did you pass by this? Yeah. Okay, well, you were negligent and not stopping to help them out. That's what that verse is talking about. It's the same with when we go and share our testimony. If you know a verse, if you know something that will help someone to realize what they need, and what they need is Christ, then you should do that. Because if you don't, then you are committing a sin. I went to another church yesterday because my boss at work, her church is asking for some help to basically do some remodeling. And I have my district partner with us. And we went over there and we were talking about it. And it was really, really cool to see my district partner and her husband, who is a minister for their church, just talk about how much God's affected their lives. Now, his testimony is a little bit off. I'm not going to give the story.
You kind of have to now that you brought it up.
Not really. Let's just say that his son had received a Bible that he got, and it was placed in the bathroom on a stand, and so that's how God contacted him. He would always read Reader's Digest. Well, guess what? Now he's reading the Bible. But here's the plus. Here's the plus part of that. That's why I was like, ooh. Here's the plus part. His wife wasn't so much of a believer either. And not only did he dedicate his life to Christ, but he started reading the Bible with her. So didn't really get too much into how well it's going and everything like that. But he did say that in the morning, he'll get up, he'll read his Bible, and he'll read it to his wife. And sometimes she'll be awake for it. Sometimes she's tired. Both of them work for Target. But it's good that he does that. And then the minister would be coming back with something else. So it was like a tennis match, watching these guys go back and forth with their testimony. It was pretty awesome. It's something that once you start doing it, you don't want to stop. And you shouldn't stop. You should check to see how your classmates are, how your coworkers are, how your boss is doing. You should check to see how your pastor's doing. Sean was absolutely correct on Sunday when he said, we should not be coming in here with this everything is great attitude. We should come in here saying, I've had a really bad week. Guess what? I can guarantee you somebody in this church will want to pray for you. And that's what I love about this church, is that they will. I hurt my leg. Let me pray for you. So what happens? You go back to school, back to work, shopping, you know. It's okay to, if you're being assisted by somebody in a retail store and they say, you know, you ask them, are you okay? Oh, I twisted my ankle. Can I pray for you real quick? It's okay. I doubt they're going to tell you no. But you want them to know that you care enough about them. And that's what we want to show. We want to share the gospel by caring about people and showing them that there is something better than just this world. So if you're still nervous or scared about sharing the gospel, here's some verses that might help you also. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. I was fine all week. Sean had texted me on Saturday and said, I'm not feeling good. I might need you to teach on Sunday. And I was like, oh, okay. Most of my lesson was done, but it was my anniversary. But it was okay, because he says, well, I'm feeling a little bit better. But even though it would have been scary, that verse right there, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you from the evil one. That tells me he's going to give me that strength to stand up here in front of a small group, in front of a large group, whoever. Matthew 28:19-20, the verse says, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This one is the one I really like out of the two. In verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you, even to the end of age. I was fine this week. I was fine when I got here. I was even more relaxed after worshiping with Ariana, because those songs that she picked felt like it just touched my heart. And I could feel it because I was doing this, and then I would just go. And that's what you want. Because when you can just relax, you can feel him inside of you. If you can go to work and tell somebody how to do something, then you can share the gospel. If you can go show someone how to figure out a school problem, you can share the gospel. If you just listen to someone who's having a bad day, you can share the gospel. And the gospel is your testimony. And the testimony is, what did God do for you? How did God change your life? How is he helping you out now? Whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, how is he helping you out now? If you do anything this week, I know we like to say, take this verse away, take that verse away. I am going to ask something a little different. If you do anything this week, admit to God that you're afraid and ask him to help you, whether it's to share the gospel, whether it's to just go and talk to somebody just to see how they are. Make sure that they're doing good. Because I can guarantee you that for everybody that knows me at work and knows how I am, they know I care about them. We may not agree on everything, but they know that I care about them. They know my faith. And this week, even more, which is what I loved after I had told him I was afraid, that I have gotten bolder. Now, I know it's not politically correct to talk about your faith in the workplace, but time is short. If you do not want to hear about Jesus Christ while I'm talking to someone else, then you can walk away. You can walk away, and it'll be it was like when he had the disciples go into the towns and told them to take nothing. And when they walk away, it'll be like dust off their sandals. Not even going to worry about it, because there's always somebody else that will want to know. And there's always going to be somebody else that's going to need you, that's going to need me. And we're only there to tell them about Christ and to tell them how God loved us and what he did for us. Because he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. That is huge. That is so huge. And Jesus Christ paid for those sins. And God gives us the Holy Spirit to remind us, hey, you're doing that wrong. You need to get it straight. So please remember that if there's one thing to do, talk to God. And if you're afraid of anything, just admit it to him and ask him for strength. Share the gospel when you can to whoever and whenever you can. Let's pray.